Welcome to our show, The Sound of the Trumpet. I'm your host, Faith Marie Batsko, bringing you critical insight and revelation to position you securely in Christ for the season ahead. Hello, and thank you for joining me on The Sound of the Trumpet. Today, I'm going to share some key insights from my new book, The Arising Army of God, that's available on Amazon.com. I'm titling today's message, God's Call for Faithful Stewards. There are key strategic initiatives God intends to have accomplished for every season, brought forth by God to crank the engine that drives and directs our movements toward the completion of His divine plan. Paul declared in Colossians 1:25 that he became, quote, a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The word stewardship in Greek is oikonomia. It is a word related to the stewardship and management of God's economy. It means the administration of a household or estate, a religious economy, dispensation, stewardship. So Paul's was a stewardship that was from God. It was a work assigned to him for the people of God to fulfill the will and the word of God, as it says in this passage. It was a stewardship led by the Holy Spirit, backed by heaven, and administered in union with angels. His ministry began in a meeting of the apostles and prophets. As they were fasting and ministering to the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Note that these leaders were not praying, but they were ministering to the Lord. God's mystery was about to unfold. Salvation for the Gentiles, according to Ephesians 3:6. God's strategy for taking the gospel out to the nations was about to begin through Paul and Barnabas. Their sending and ministry were key to God's plan for that era. For the apostles and all the leaders called forth for that time, it was a plan that required their stewardship. The responsibility was theirs to get the job done, in the power of the Holy Spirit, working with them and through them. For those chosen to be born and to live in these fullness of times, in the day of His power, the call to ministry is to the high call of stewarding and administering the life of Christ with a greater level of power and authority. Let's have a look at this stewardship in relation to leaders in the Bible. Throughout the Bible, there is a large body of evidence of the many great leaders and saints who lived out the principle that God raises up certain people and prepares and equips them to administer His blueprint for their times. Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, and the leaders of the 12 tribes, were mandated to oversee the massive responsibility of moving millions of people out of captivity on a 40-year journey that led them to the gates of the Promised Land. Once Moses had said yes to God and entered into an agreement with Him for His plan to come forth, he did not capitulate. Moses stayed faithful until the end. He completed his task to bear witness or give evidence to God's unfolding plan. Hebrews 3:5 says, "Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future." Joshua was one of God's greatest leaders, raised up to cause the people of God to conquer and possess the Promised Land. Joshua never wavered in his devotion and was faithful to all God had called him to accomplish. Joshua 24, verse 31 is a demonstration and testimony of his good leadership. It says Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Deborah is another great example of a leader called to steward the times she lived in, to represent God's kingdom interests. She was called forth as a deliverer to the people of God, to move them out from under the oppression of the enemy into freedom and liberty. In the triumphant song that she sang in Judges 5:2-7, she said, "When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. Villagers in Israel would not fight. They held back until I, Deborah, arose, until I arose, a mother in Israel." Many times in Scripture, Daniel was referred to as a man greatly beloved because of his faithful service to God while living under enemy rule. Daniel stewarded the purposes of God for his times as an intercessor in communication with the kingdom realm, and as a prophet, he stewarded significant revelations given for a future generation at the end of the age. Daniel 2:23 says, "I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you." So every objective of God to be accomplished in every dispensation is a vital and crucial part of God's unfolding plan. Each part causes momentum to build, moving history forward toward the day of completion at the climax of times at the end of the age. The prophets of Israel were called forth as stewards of the oracles of God and as witnesses of the living God. They lived supernatural lives functioning in gifts and abilities sourced in another realm. Let's examine the biblical worldview of what stewardship means. According to Charles Bugg in the Holman Bible, stewardship is utilizing and managing all resources God provides for the glory of God and the betterment of His creation. And according to Wikipedia, the central essence of a biblical worldview of stewardship is managing everything God brings into the believer's life in a manner that honors God and impacts eternity. So God will have an administration suitable for this present dispensation, one that is tailored and equipped to meet the challenges of these times. This is our destiny. We are that generation. It is therefore necessary to God's interests that we, one, understand the dynamics of the times, two, understand God's intentions for the times, three, know the framework and boundaries of the times, and four, the enemy's limits in the times. And then we receive directions and tactical assignments to implement the plan of God for the times. So for this present hour, in the culmination of history, the people prepared and brought forth to serve God will be a unique people, bold and courageous, bearing the likeness of the Lion of Judah, the Son of God. They will have walked through the fires and have not been burned, and through the waters and have not drowned. This army coming forth will stand resolute, tethered to the Lord by humility and the fear of the Lord. They are friends of God, the glorious vanguard, moving ahead as one man to prepare the way of the Lord in union with Him. They are called forth to the stewardship of a unique season of fullness, when everything will be matured to its fullness: kindness, goodness, love, compassion, hate, evil, and deception. Ephesians 1:8-10 is written for these times and these people. It says, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us, in all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times. That is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth in him. The word administration in this passage, translated as dispensation, is again the word oikonomia. It's translated also as stewardship in other translations. In the context of this passage, it is used to refer to God's administration or stewardship of a certain period of history to which Paul described as the fullness of times. By their union with Christ, this passage also takes into account the Lord's servants anointed to this administration, this stewardship. They carry out his will and execute his campaign with authority, working to bring to union everything in Christ. Regarding this stewardship, the NIV puts it this way, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. And the ESV describes it as a plan for the fullness of times. The summing up in these times in Christ means to bring everything under one head, in a time when things have come to a head. Jesus is the head. The people of God are now growing up to the head, to the stature of the fullness of Christ, according to Ephesians 4:13. The body of Christ is being separated from everything opposed to the mind and heart of God, where he alone steps forward to administrate his kingdom as Lord, and this through a people fully submitted to his lordship and fully yielded to him. Philippians 3:10-14 is a passage written by Paul toward the end of his life. In it, he shares his great longing to know Christ at a deeper and a higher level. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul's words reveal that he was pressing on to attain to something much greater than he had experienced thus far in his life. Captured in his cry is his desire to apprehend his full purpose for which Christ had apprehended him. Paul referred to this prize as the upward or high call. So what is the high call of God? It seems clear that Paul's desire was not simply that of the physical resurrection from the dead, as this is confirmed by his words that said, "Not that I have already attained." His goal was the prize of the high call of knowing Christ in his resurrection power. In the Greek language, the words high calling simply mean what they say. However, there is greater understanding of the definition of the word high. The word high means great in rank, extending above the normal or average level, great or greater than normal in quantity or in intensity. This definition reveals that there is a level of glory and resurrection power to be released in its fullness that extends far above the normal level and intensity the church has experienced so far. Hallelujah. In the coming days, it will not be possible to stand in strength without being deeply rooted in Christ and without the full assurance of His Lordship over your life. But then you will also need a firm grasp on the dynamics of the times. What do we need to understand about the times? Well, firstly, most things are actually not conspiracy. We are presently living out our lives in the midst of unfolding conspiracies. A key feature or takeaway that represents the dynamic of this era is the best and the worst of times, times of darkness and of great light. We are living in times where it only takes a spark to ignite a chaotic eruption. So how do we as believers stand in this hour without fear? In what ways should we be equipped to be positioned with resolve? Well, the fear of God must be first and foremost functioning in our lives. It's not a time to be messing around with sin. It's a time to bring our lives into order according to the blueprint written in the Word of God. It does help at this time to have had a history with God. And if you don't have one and you're a new believer, then read someone else's history, their biography, their testimonies, their story, and build your faith. The army that I keep referring to that God is looking for in these days will be a bridal company. It will be a company that has a history with God, who has lived in His presence and served Him faithfully. God is looking for His bride. And I believe He's saying that His bride is very distracted right now and that we need to remove the distractions that are keeping us from His presence. He not only longs to spend time with us, but He has also much to say to us about things that will be vital to our future and the directions that we take in the days ahead. So, Father, I thank You for every single person listening to this message. I pray, Lord, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, they will become deeply rooted in You, living from the place of Your presence. Lord, that they would be a people of courage, standing without fear, knowing that You are standing at their side. Lord, I pray the peace and the shalom of God over them. Lord, I pray that You would teach them Your ways and they would understand, Lord, Your heart and Your mind, Lord, and Your will for this hour of history. Lord, that they will be given intelligence. Lord, that You will communicate with them, Lord, Your directions for their lives, for their family, for their city and their nation. Lord, that they would become a people of prayer and intercession. Lord, that their voices will have power and authority to break through the strongholds of the enemy. Lord, bless them with great wisdom and understanding of how to move and strategize with You in the days ahead. I just bless You in the name of Jesus to enter into the fullness of the destinies God has for your life. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Help us to get these words out to the body of Christ, to rally the troops and those serving the Lord on the front lines. Be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes and cpnshows.com. And please like and share with your friends. See the links below to our website and our social media pages. God bless you and keep you safe and hidden within Him.